to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Valentine.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Valentine Show.
All right, everybody, good morning, good morning, good morning. Man, so much to talk about today. We can talk about treason. They want to give everybody in the White House a lie detector. I told you yesterday I thought that this may be a military person. It may be Mattis. It may be Kelly. But I'm going to give you another name that you may not be thinking about. After having a conversation with a good friend of mine who used to work in the White House, who has a book out right now, she kind of made me look at this a different way. So I'm going to give you another name today on who's possibly behind the op-ed. Also, Colin Kaepernick. Man, look, I did Russ Parr's show this morning. Now, I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. I fell asleep right after the football game, got right back up at 3. And me and Russ Parr had been talking about this like from 4:30 in the morning till I did his show. And Colin Kaepernick potentially can take down the NFL and the president. I'll explain that in a second. Also, we're going to talk a little bit of fantasy football. If you want to get the picks, you can go to thewbshow.com and download them. If you got them already and you weren't able to get them, let me know. And just show me where you got them, and then I'll shoot you a copy of the picks via email. Just email me on the messenger service for Facebook, and I'll get it to you. All right, so let's start off the show like this. Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick. Oh, and I got to talk about the Democrats too. I'm sorry, y'all. I got to talk about the Democrats and how weak they look. In fact, let me start the show with the Democrats. All right. So I did something today that I normally don't do. You know, I don't normally do this. All right. I listen to black radio, black talk radio, not like Ricky Smiley show or Russ Parr show. I'm talking about black people who do talk radio, like Joe Madison, Mark. You know, I listened to black talk radio this morning. And I was amazed at the conversation that they were having in black talk radio this morning. They were literally calling Cory Booker a hero and how brave he was. If you didn't see it, yesterday Cory Booker on the Senate floor came out and said, look, I'm releasing some documents. I know it can cause me to be kicked out of the Senate. This is my Spartacus moment. And so I'm listening to the talk radio and they're, yeah, Cory Booker is so brave. And if he runs for president, we got to support him. And this was a brave thing he did. And I'm sitting there like, he knew he wasn't going to get kicked out of the Senate. What's so brave about this? The documents he released had already been marked unclassified. They were already released 5 hours before he did it. What was special about what Cory Booker did? I'm trying to really understand this. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, wow, black talk radio has really gotten just like Sean Hannity and Fox News. Everything is left. And then when you turn on the right, everything is right. It ain't nobody talking in the middle. Nobody. I mean, they're not even talking from a common sense point of view. Because anybody can go look this up and see Cory Booker was never in jeopardy of anything with what he did. Because it had already been declassified. I'm like, wow. I'm like, really? Y'all trying to make this dude a hero? I said, in my mind, you know what the whole Cory Booker thing was to me? It was him grandstanding because he wants to run for president, of course. But the other thing is, you ever been in a fight? Like, have you ever been in a group fight? Like, let me tell you what's so funny. I've fought my whole life. I ain't never fought for myself. I've never had a fight just because it was me and somebody wanted to fight each other. Every fight I've had is because of my boys, my cousins, my teammates. I've never had just a fight because of myself. Now, the funny thing about this is every fight that I've been in has been multiple people fighting, meaning like it's 5 or 6, 10, you know, it's 10 against 3 of us or 5 of us against 15 of them. It's always been something like that, all right? And growing up, I had a boy, and he's still my boy today. When we would get into the fights, he wouldn't fight when everybody else was fighting. Like, after I knocked the dude down or my other boy knocked the dude down, he'd come over and kick him. And then after the fight, he'd be like, yeah, I stumped him. Wait a minute, you ain't even do nothing. You kicked him after he was already down. Instead of going to fight the one that's standing up, you kicking the one that's down, go hit the dude that's standing up. That was Cory Booker to me yesterday. The dude is already down, you're going to come kick him and then say, yeah, this is my Spartacus moment. I stumped him. I stumped him. I mean, come on, man. And I'm listening. And see, let me tell you why I was in shock, right? Because I'm listening to people who I believed had good sense and believed that they could look at stuff literally for what it really is. But I'm listening to them and they're signing off on this. And I'm like, what the hell is, what are you looking at? What are you talking about? Could not believe it. Even Kamal Harris, right? The internet went crazy when she asked the question about, did you talk to anybody that worked at Pfizer and Smith who represented Trump, and Kavanaugh couldn't remember. Internet went crazy. They went to break. They came back. It was nothing else more of it. Wait a minute. If you're asking this question, you should be able to say, well, I'm asking this question because I know on this date and time you talked to such and such and such and such. You just asking a random question? And the other part of this that's crazy to me is how the Democrats are trying to convince you that they can stop this nomination. Look, let's go back for a second. Didn't I tell y'all that it was nothing the Democrats could do to stop the Jeff Sessions nomination? Do y'all remember that? You remember how all these folks was jumping up and down and screaming up and down on how they wasn't going to let this happen, Schumer and all these people. And what did I say? And if you listen to Black Talk Radio, they thought they was going to stop Jeff Sessions. What did I say? It's not going to happen because they got the votes, right? Well, let me say this for you with Kavanaugh. It's not going to happen because they got the votes. All the other stuff that they're putting out, this is just a dog and pony show for them to make y'all think they fighting for y'all and for y'all to think somebody can run for president. I'm just trying to be honest with y'all. See, the thing about it is this. I can get on here and act like the Democrats are doing something good. I can get on here and act like they really going, yeah, they got a chance to stop Kavanaugh. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's all a show. Can't stop this. Cannot stop it. Nothing they can do about it. The only ones who could stop this is Collins and the other lady from Alaska. And then even in that particular case, you got to make sure Joe Manchin and all the rest of these Democrats that's in red states don't flip the script on you. I mean, so this is all a dog and pony show, y'all. Now, let me tell you what we really should be talking about in this country. This op-ed that just came out about President Trump. I'm going to give you three names. I want you to tell me who you think it is, who wrote the op-ed. General Kelly. Kellyanne Conway or General Mattis? Who you think wrote the op-ed? We come back. I want to talk about the op-ed, but I don't want to talk about it the way everybody else is talking about it. Everybody else is trying to figure out who wrote it. That ain't what we need to be talking about. You know what we need to be talking about? If 5% of what was written in Omarosa's book, if 5% what was written in Woodward's book, if 5% of what was written in this op-ed is true, Congress should be having hearings with everybody in that White House. We come back, we'll talk more about this. You're listening to the WB.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish that.
Oh, come.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist.
What?
Post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we're still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one Trump fighter in America.
All right, welcome back to the show. Now, I asked the question in break. Who you think wrote this op-ed? Mad Dog, General Kelly, Kellyanne Conway. Most people think it's one of the generals. I thought that too initially, right? But then I had a conversation with a friend of mine who has a book out who used to work in the White House. And when we start talking about it, because, you know, I'm like, hey, look, give me the 411. I need to know who you think it is in this White House, because you was around these people. Well, who do you think it is? And she wouldn't tell me a name. She just said, I think it's a woman, and I think her husband doesn't like the president. And I seen her firsthand have a problem with the IQ and the intelligence of the president. And that's all I needed from that point on, because I know who husband hates the president, Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway's husband hates Donald Trump. And it got me to thinking. Most people, if your significant other has a real problem with somebody, you might have a problem with them too. You're not going to get divorced or be fighting with your significant other over Donald Trump, are you? Now, the difference is, like I tell you guys in the hard people who are around money, they don't have to like you to make money off of you and be in a position of authority around you. And that's what I think Kellyanne Conway is doing. So, and then I really got to thinking about it. And ladies, don't take this the wrong way. I'm just speaking the truth. Y'all know this better than I do. Women are way more sneaky and manipulative when it comes to stuff like this than a man could ever be. I'm not trying to talk bad about women, but y'all better at it than us. That's just real talk. Y'all are way better at y'all lie better than us, you cheat better than us, you manipulate better than us, y'all way better than us and all that stuff. Because we give little telltales all the time. Women don't do that. Women don't do that. Y'all just smarter than us. I mean, this is just being honest. And when you think about it, this letter, when you read it, because I went back and reread it, this would be such a smart letter coming from a woman, because it throws everything towards a man. Everything. It throws it towards Pence. It throws it towards Kelly. It throws it towards Mattis. It throws it towards a man. This would be a perfect letter written by a woman. A perfect letter. Because a woman is smart enough to do that. A man wouldn't even think to do that. A man wouldn't even think to do it. Women are just smarter than us. I mean, that's just being honest. So it really got me to thinking, could this be Kellyanne Conway? Kind of makes sense. I mean, so don't put it past it being Kellyanne. Somebody, my man Fred Foster says, look, he believes it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Who knows? But the bigger question to me is this. For Cory Booker, for Kamala Harris, for all the members of the Senate, for all the members of the Congress, including the Congressional Black Caucus, you see what Woodward wrote in his book. Even if you didn't believe Omarosa at first, his book basically validates everything that she said in her book because he has a lot of the same points in his book. Then you have this op-ed letter that the New York Times posts, and it validates Omarosa's book too because it says a lot of the same stuff in this letter that's in her book. My thing is, if 5% of what they're saying in their books and in this op-ed is correct, Congress should be holding meetings with members of the White House to see if this country is safe. Now, think about this. If two books came out talking about Obama, people were stealing papers off his table, off his desk in the Oval Office to stop him from going to war. If books came out talking about how incompetent he was, if books came out talking about the fact that literally he doesn't read any of the legislation he signs, including the executive orders. And if somebody wrote an op-ed talking about they're in there trying to save and preserve the republic because this person has no clue what they're doing, don't you know everybody in that Obama White House would be in front of the Congress right now and they would be asking questions? Everybody would be. Everybody would be. Why aren't they doing this now? If you got everybody saying the same thing, even, like I said, it ain't even got to be 100% right. Even if it's just 5%. If it's just 5%. We all should be like, whoa, what is going on in this White House? What are they doing? We should be asking Congress literally as I'm listening to. And see, this is why I can no longer support a Democratic agenda. Because as I'm listening to Democrats talk, I'm like, y'all don't see this? You don't see where you really could be making a difference and a change right here? But it goes back to what I've always said. The Democrats just don't have the testicles of the Republican Party. They don't. They keep bringing a butter knife to a gunfight and thinking, well, you know, I won't need nothing more than this butter knife. Man, look, if this was the other way around and this was a Democratic president, if Hillary Clinton was sitting in that seat, if Obama was sitting in that seat, if anybody that was a Democrat sitting in that seat and this was going on, it would be congressional hearings right now about the sanity of what was going on in the White House. But the Democrats, I'm having my Spartacus moment. This is my Spartacus moment. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And see, what's sad is that this country is either a Blood or a Crip. The majority of this country is, they didn't pick the side. Instead of being reasonable and looking at both sides to see who's giving you what, you're literally picking a side, and both sides are feeding you nonsense to make you believe something that really isn't real. And it makes no sense at all. Makes no sense. All right, we come back. I'm going to tell you how Colin Kaepernick is going to take down the NFL and possibly the president of the United States. You don't want to miss this.
Kane is in the building now.
There's so many young people dying in the streets, and education is a way to change that and opportunity. Mr. President, how do we emphasize this?
Well, look, the most important thing starts with parenting. talking to young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine, coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the Truth Fighters in full effect right now.
All right. Now, normally, I don't normally try to highlight something in my show while I'm doing the show, but what I'm about to tell you right now about Colin Kaepernick, this is a straight hot take. Y'all should make this go viral. Y'all should record this, post it, send it in the messenger boxes. Like, y'all be sending me all this crazy stuff. Make this go viral, because I'm about to tell you something that is going to literally blow your mind about Colin Kaepernick. Okay, so I talked about this a little bit before, about Colin Kaepernick winning the summary judgment argument, which means they have to go to trial. Now, based on them having to go to trial, Colin Kaepernick has the right to ask for every email and every text message for the last 10 years from the owners, the 32 owners in the NFL. He can go 10 years back because it helps show that there's a pattern of collusion against players in the NFL, not just himself. Now, let's think about this from a different perspective, okay? Yesterday, I said, I wonder how many of those emails or text messages may have some derogatory terms in them about African-American players, the N-word, those people, slaves, or whatever. But let's really think about this. Think about who else they may have been talking to about this. President Trump and Jerry Jones had conversations on the phone, text, and email about this. Imagine what they wrote to each other in emails and text messages. Think about all the senators, all the high money donors, the boosters, the judges. Colin Kaepernick, his case can potentially blow up, not just the NFL, but the president, senators. His case could literally destroy careers. The question is going to be this. Does Colin want the money, or does he want the truth? That's the gazillion dollar question. Because let me tell you what's about to happen right now. The lawyers for the NFL and the owner group are going to make a hell of an offer to Colin Kaepernick. And the offer is going to be north of $300 million. Yesterday I said $200 million. It's going to be north of $300 million. Why? Because they don't want these emails and these text messages coming to light. Because if any of this stuff comes out, you see what happened to Donald Sterling. Imagine if this stuff comes out and you see text messages from Jerry Jones and Trump and senators and Trump. I mean, do y'all get this? Do you see what the possibility is of what literally could be in these emails, what literally could be in these text messages, and what it would do? I mean, do y'all see that? But will Colin say, I don't care about the money. I want this to be shown to the world? Because if he makes it shown to the world, it blows up everything. And see, I don't even think Colin Kaepernick knows he has this power, y'all, because he's not a lawyer. The average person don't know you can do this. So if his lawyers never even talk to him about this, he may not even know he has the power. Now, I want y'all to make this go viral because of that reason, but I also want you to literally tweet Colin Kaepernick and tell him, Colin, you can make their emails and text messages available. You can take down the president, because you know he called you out your name when he was referring to you when he was talking to Jerry Jones. You get what I'm saying, y'all? See, this is why I want you to make this go viral, because literally, if you have not been trained in the legal arena, you don't know nothing about this. And he, look, his lawyers, if the NFL lawyers today call his lawyer up and say, we're going to cut you a check for $350 million today. We want this over with. You know what his lawyer's going to do? He's going to call Colin up and say, they offering you $350 million. I think you should take the deal. You know why his lawyer is going to say that? Because his lawyer gets a third of that money, which means his lawyer makes over $100 million, y'all. So, of course, his lawyer is going to be like, take the money, take the money. His lawyer is not going to say, well, you could take this a little further and we can get all the emails and the text messages and expose them to the world. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Do you understand? And see, I know y'all saying, well, he's going to go for the truth. I believe that too. But if you don't know that you have this power, you don't even understand the truth you can put out there. If his lawyers never tell him, well, we can go in and get all this documentation and find out if they was colluding against other players and saying the N-word and everything else. If the lawyer never comes to him with that and only comes to him with the money, Colin's going to think, oh, okay, well, I won my case. I'm going to take the money. Because his lawyers don't have to tell him, you can go get all this information. Because the lawyer's job is for him to win the case. And so the lawyer is doing his job by coming and saying, look, they offered $350 million. I think you should take it, or we can counter offer and ask for a half a billion. And if they go back with a half a billion and the NFL say yes, the case is over with. It's done. It's over. And yes, I already tweeted this to him. I tweeted it to him yesterday, y'all. If you follow me on social media, I posted the tweet that I tweeted to him, telling him the power that he had. So I'm trying to get this message out. But see, this is what I need y'all to understand. And see, this is the one thing about I love us. We family. Y'all know that. I got mad love for everybody who listens to my show. But the one thing that disappoints me the most about us as a collective group, more than anything else, is that we don't understand the power is in our numbers together. It's not Warren Ballantyne. See, my name might be on the show, but this is our thing. This is us together. We in this together. I can tweet, I can do, but if it's 200 of us tweeting the same thing, then people pay attention. If it's 500 of us tweeting the same thing, people pay attention. I'm telling you to email Jeff Zucker right now. If y'all constantly emailing this man every day and he getting 500 emails, people pay attention. See, you got to understand the way you get what you want is you have to do it in numbers. It's not one person that's going to make it happen, y'all. It's not. One person cannot change the world. But if one person can get another person and another person and another person and another person and another person, now that one person has connected with so many other people that one person has become a movement instead of a person. We got to become a movement. And the way you become a movement is in numbers. In numbers. You have to literally do it as a collective group. Everybody listening should go on Twitter and tweet to Colin Kaepernick. Everybody listening should be trying to cut this segment and put it out and make it go viral. Because I promise you, Colin Kaepernick he has no idea the power that he got right now. None. Because he's not thinking about it like that because he's not a lawyer. He's not looking at it like that because he's not a lawyer. And God bless my mama. I miss her so much. But my mama had to tell me one time, she's like, baby boy, you got to always remember this. You've been trained to think like this. See, I get frustrated because I'd be like, why people don't see this? Why people don't? My mother used to tell me all the time, don't be frustrated. They don't understand what you understand. They think they understand, but you've been trained. They ain't been trained. And because they haven't been trained, they think they know something. Well, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing that. Well, legally, I know what I'm doing. This ain't the way you do it. This is the way you do it to avoid this and avoid that. And this is the thing with Colin Kaepernick. He hasn't been trained, so he doesn't know the power that he has.
Welcome back to the Warren Valentine Show, heard coast to coast and border to border, giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice. Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
Now, see, what I try to tell people every day when we get back into the show is this. Look, we have to understand that the reality of it is this. Let me give everybody some real truth here for a minute, okay? We live in a nation, we live in a republic that is set up for us to have three different classes of people. The 1%, the working middle class, and the poor. Even in the best of times, look, the job numbers came out doing great, 3.9% unemployment, fantastic. But you still have a huge poverty gap between those that are impoverished, those who are the working middle class, and the 1%. And if you're not in the 1%, even if you're in the working middle class, if you lose your income, you're impoverished. And all those folks in that working middle class, all those folks impoverished, all of us in that group, instead of us understanding that, you know what, we may disagree on 9 things, but if we agree on 1 thing, let's focus on the 1 thing. Because what you find out is when you start working with somebody, even if you disagree with them on 9 other things, if y'all can work together on 1 thing, guess what happens? You become more open to working on other things together because you find that you have some things in common. You find some things that you have the same issues and problems with. Now, somebody just brought up something, and I'm gonna address this because this is actually a very interesting point that I want to make. The presidency, the reason why you don't hear me dogging Trump, you don't hear me dogging Obama, is because the presidency changes every 4 to 8 years. They're not there forever. And see, this is what I try to tell people. Democrats, when Reagan was in office, oh, it's the worst president ever. When George W. Bush, oh, it's the worst president ever. Republicans, when Clinton in office, oh, worst president ever. When Obama in office, oh, worst president ever. How are we going to survive? You make it through every president. We didn't have, look, man, look, we didn't have way back. You can go all the way back from the beginning. We've had bad presidents. That's the whole purpose of the check and balance system, y'all. The problem is never the president. It's the Senate and the House. I mean, really think about this, right? I told y'all this yesterday. If you really sit down and look at the Republicans, what are they doing right now with Trump? What are they doing with him? Nothing. You know why? Because they're getting everything they want. They're getting the Supreme Court the way they want it. They're getting tax cuts the way they want it. They're getting deregulation the way they want it. Why are they going to do anything to Trump? Why wouldn't they protect him? Even if he's crazy, they still going to leave him in there because they're getting everything they want. Lindsey Graham said it best. If you want to change something, you need to win an election. And so the problem is this, right? I said this to you guys yesterday. In both political parties, you have two extremes. On the left, you got people so far left, they're socialists. It ain't no other word for it. They're socialists. You got people on the right, they're so far right, they literally are so far right that they might as well be Nazis because they can't see nothing but what they see. And so you get these two extremes. And then you have the moderates who are not being heard from. And what made America the place it was, because this has always been the United States of America, LLC. It's a business, not a nation. But what made it a functioning and good nation is that the moderates had control. Even when they disagreed, they had enough sense to come together and say, hey, let's find something we can work on together, fix that, and then we'll go from there. In today's society, it's everybody to the far right and everybody to the far left. You might as well be Bloods and Crips. You might as well just throw up a gang sign because you're not thinking about the country. You're just thinking about the party. And that's on both sides of the aisle. This is what the media's problem is. This is why when he says fake news, it's all fake. Don't believe it. You have to deal with the fake news too. I know. I understand. When he says that, I always laugh to myself because I'd be like, he's kind of right about this. Because if you look to the left, you hear a lot of fake stuff. You look to the right, you hear a lot of fake stuff. Let me show you a perfect example of this, right? I'm going to show you a perfect example of this. Everybody's bringing up Roe v. Wade with Kavanaugh. Now, let me go back a little bit. Do y'all realize with Gorsuch, with Roberts, with Ginsburg, with every justice, they brought up Roe v. Wade? Every one of them. And the same argument is made every time based on your political affiliation. Do you believe in Roe v. Wade? If you believe in it, then you're too far left. If you don't believe in it, you're too far right. But this is the reality. No justice has struck down Roe v. Wade. They haven't struck it down. And when I'm hearing this argument about Roe v. Wade, I just shake my head because it's such an irrelevant argument because they're not going to ever strike it down. I told you what they're going to do. They're going to put it back into the states. And then the states will do what they want to do with it. The Supreme Court is never going to take down Roe v. Wade. They're not going to take down Brown v. Board of Education. They'll give it back to the states. And then the states will do what they want to do with it. See, you got to understand, all this is just it's a dog and pony show, y'all. It's a dog and pony show. You know what? We go on top of the hour. When we come back, the beginning of this hour, I'm going to take us all the way back to the beginning of this nation so I can show you what they did then is what they're doing right now. And we don't even realize it. You're listening to the WB.